Josh, tell me a little bit about yourself, more particularly and specifically your involvement in the New Age movement. You were a former New Ager like me. Mm-hmm. That's why you reached out to me to write this book and publish it through Defender. So what was your involvement in the New Age movement? And in a nutshell, how did you get led out of that?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in a Baptist Christian, you know, household like many, many people are. I mean, it was pretty average, but I had issues at home that I believed at the time, still believe today, that, you know, involved my parents that were bringing demonic influences in.
Right.
For example, I'll give you an exclusive on some of this because I haven't shared this before. My mom, now she was a Christian too. You know, she passed away a few years ago, but she was a Christian, totally believed in Jesus and all that. But because we didn't go to a church that really taught anything about spiritual warfare or dealt with demons or didn't deal with any of that stuff, it was easy for her to get caught up in things like Ouija boards. So she told me the story in the house that I grew up in. She apparently got drunk by herself one night and then messed around with a Ouija board. And then after that, I started having really bad nightmares. I would say that I was like afraid of things in the backyard. And so she didn't know what to do about it. Even she was seeing things in the house, like doors would close. She would feel like a little girl's hand grab her hand as she was sleeping, weird right. stuff like that. And I vaguely remember some of this, but I was still really, really young. So she didn't know what to do. She didn't want to talk to her church about it because she knew what the answer was going to be. It's like, right. well, come on, you know, there's no such thing as ghosts. You know, it was going to be something like that. And if they would admit, they would probably say that it was demons, but they wouldn't have any solutions on how to deal with it.
Or any real thorough explanation.
Exactly.
You know, like why, like what are you actually doing? What are they doing?
Right.
How does this work out? Mechanically speaking.
Yeah, you know? It would just be, it's just all demonic, you know, that's all it is. So, you know, just believe in Jesus and you'll be fine. That's basically what the most that they would get into it.
Right.
So she didn't know what to do, so she called a psychic over. And, yeah, which didn't help the situation at all.
Right.
And she said that there were, like, angry, not ghosts in the backyard, but an angry spirit, but that there were ghosts in the house, and my mom brought them in with the Ouija board, apparently. I don't know what to make of any of that. You know, I don't buy into the whole psychic interpretation of what ghosts and demons are and everything.
Right.
I think is like completely anti-biblical. But
sure.
at the time, you know, who knew what to do about any of it? Well, we ended up moving from that house, not specifically because of all the weird stuff going on, but because my mom and dad got a divorce, and that's a whole story. But my mom got remarried to my stepdad, and we moved in with him. And I was having sleep paralysis about once, maybe sometimes twice a month. And basically what that is, for those who aren't familiar with the term, you try to go to sleep, you wake up, you're totally awake, but you can't move. You're just frozen solid. You can't move. All of a sudden, you would see, like, you know, just dark shadow people, they're typically called,
right.
or entities,
yep.
or, you know, no one knows what to really make of it. Some right. say they're ghosts, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I always thought they were demons.
Right.
But, again, I had no idea what to do about it. I didn't want to talk to my church about it. And at that point, I had stopped going to church altogether because my mom said I could if I wanted to. So, mm-hmm. you know, I was 12 at the time. What 12-year-old is going to pass up that opportunity to not go mm-hmm. to a boring church? Mm-hmm. I still had this problem. So I had that all the way up till I was, really in my late 20s. But up until I was 18, I moved out. And I moved in with some friends of mine. And then it started happening almost daily at that point. I mean, it was almost every night. It was getting worse and worse and worse. I moved around a lot between the ages of 18 and 20, somewhere around there. For a couple of years, it was just every few months I was somewhere else. One of the places was a couple that I was friends with that I worked with at McDonald's. And I moved in with them. And, you know, they were engaged. I told them about my sleep paralysis problem because in the previous house I lived in, they would get worried because they would hear noises at night because it sounded like I was choking because I couldn't get out of the sleep paralysis.
Sure.
And so I thought, well, maybe I should tell them before I move in. You know, if you hear any noises coming from my room in the middle of the night, I'm not dying. I'm not choking. It's just a sleep paralysis thing. So the woman in the couple asked me, I don't want to give her name, but she asked me, well, what do you think that is? Do you think it's, you know, something like medical that's happened, like a medical problem, mm-hmm. or do you think it's spiritual? And I said, mm-hmm. I really don't know. I think it's probably spiritual, but I don't.
Yeah,
I can't prove it. So she asks, well, have you ever heard of astral projection? I said, no, what is that? And she said, some people believe with meditation and concentration and all these things, you can develop a skill to leave your body. If you can learn how to do that, maybe you can get away from these things that are bothering you. I had no idea she was a New Ager. She was actually like technically a Wiccan, but she had a lot of New Age beliefs. Sure. I had no idea about that when I moved in with her. It really wouldn't have changed my mind anyway, because I didn't have any spiritual discernment back then about any of this stuff.
Right.
So I thought, oh, okay, well, that sounds good. She gave me a book. And, you know, you would think a book teaching the ancient esoteric, you know, skills of wizards, you would think that it would be like this like dark tome or something like that. Yeah. And it wasn't. It was like, it was titled something like Astral Travel for Beginners.
And it was like lime green with flamingos on it.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. It didn't look like it would have been what it was. So I borrowed it from her. I read that thing forward and backward and side to side. I mean, I memorized like chapters in this book. I got obsessed with it. I mean, so much more than I ever have had with the Bible prior to that time.
Yeah.
I started meditating. I even became a vegetarian because the book said it would help.
Sure.
It.
Yeah.
It never explained why that would matter, but
well, in the New Age movement, they would say that a vegetarian or vegan diet helps decalcify your pineal gland.
Oh, okay.
So they would say that helps kind of bridge the gap between the natural and the supernatural and give you greater access to your spiritual abilities, because you don't have, you know, low vibrational foods clogging up your pineal gland. So
and I guess since this was just a beginner's guide, they didn't get into that. It was just basically, trust us, we know what we're talking about, be a vegetarian. And so I was a vegetarian for like 6 months. I don't know if it really contributed to it, but that actually did seem to help.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time that I would say I got it to work, you know, the first time it actually worked, I was living in a different house at this time, because I had been doing this for 6 months and I was still moving around and trying to figure out my life and everything. And I had already long since discovered too that there was no way I was going to be able to use this to escape any kind of sleep paralysis situation, because it takes a lot of meditation and you got to like clear your mind. You can't clear your mind if you're being attacked, you know.
Right.
But it didn't matter. I was hooked into this thing like it was a drug. I mean, I was already obsessed and I was already looking into remote viewing and other things. I was living with my friend and his family, and I had the upstairs room. I was meditating. I started to feel myself lift up and then become like vertical. And I noticed that I didn't have any control over where I was able to just kind of go. Mm-hmm. I just kind of floated down, sort of, and forward. I ended up briefly in the living room, and they were having a conversation, you know, about some very specific things that I would not have been able to hear from my bedroom. And I heard some of it. So it only lasted maybe 10 seconds, and then I was back, you know, in my body, and I was thinking, oh, wow, that's cool. And the next day, I confirmed that what I was hearing was what they were talking about, like verbatim, word for word. I mean, it was only 10 seconds, so I was able to memorize it. And I was like, hey, what were you guys talking about? Because I wanted to hear it from him. I didn't want to say, you know, were you guys talking about this or that? Because what if he just said, yeah, and then, you know, I would never be able to confirm it. He told me the subject matter. And then I said verbatim, did you say this? And then he's like, yeah, how'd you know? And I just said, I heard you. And I just left it at that, because I wasn't going to tell him.
Right. You know, so how did you go from being like an astral projecting New Ager to a, you know, born again Christian co-authoring a book with me?
Now that's an interesting story. So I was doing this for years and years. I married Christina, you know, my wife. We had our first child, Jacqueline, and I was still doing this kind of stuff, but still sort of thinking that, like, I never denied Christ, but I certainly wasn't living for him, but I was justifying that in my head, you know.
Mm.
One time I was astral projecting. And before this time, I had never seen any other entities or any other like beings on the other side, nothing. I mean, it was just basically just like the world is now. I started reading more about spirit guides, and I was curious if they were angels or how that would fit in with whatever little bit of Christianity I was still trying to hold on to.
Right.
And I thought, you know, I'd like to meet a spiritual being. That would be kind of cool. I would like to talk to one. And I got my wish, and it was not cool. This one day, I was using binaural beats to try to so for those not familiar, it's like the you put earphones in, and it's these weird like beats that are supposed to induce meditation and astral projection and stuff.
Yeah,
like
they're meant
that
to alter brainwave states.
Yeah, right. Yeah, those helped me. So I did that, and I got out of my body, and I like floated outside through the wall. I never saw anything like this before or since, because this was the last time that I astral projected ever. I lived in a trailer park. All throughout the trailer park, there were all the hundreds of of spiritual beings. Some looked human, some looked like monsters. I wasn't afraid of any of them. I didn't get any kind of sense that any of them were like evil. I definitely do believe they were evil now, but at the time I didn't feel that or know that. They were all heading towards this like, it looked like a portal opening like right on one of the streets, this big white oval thing, and they were all heading towards that. And I was curious. I wanted to know what that was all about. So I went up to the closest like group of five or six of them to me. I went up to them. And again, there was like a couple that looked human, and you know, some were like giants, and you know, some looked different. But it didn't seem weird to me. It seemed like if you were to just go into the supermarket and ask somebody where the coffee is or something, you know, it just seemed normal. I wasn't freaked out about it. So I asked them, hey, what's going on here? What's that thing, you know? And they didn't answer me, but they were really, really interested in me, and they were really focused on giving me all the attention that I wanted. And they were interested in who I was, you know, what I was doing. They were very polite and cordial, and I'm thinking, hey, I'm making some friends. This is nice. So I told them, you know, I'm a human. I'm astral projecting right now. And they're like, oh, we're from here, and, you know, I don't remember the terms, but they were saying that they were spiritual beings. I was like, oh, okay. And one of them asked me, do you ever have a hard time leaving your body sometimes? And I said, yeah, sometimes. And they said, well, if you want, next time you have a hard time leaving your body, you can ask us and we will come help you. Wow. We'll help take you out of your body. There was just something I didn't like about that. Right. He didn't say it sinister. It didn't come off as like rude or evil or anything, but just, right. It was just too close to, I don't know. There was a check in my spirit over it. You know, it just didn't feel right. So I was like, well, okay, thank you. I got to go now. So I went back in my body. It was like a few days later. The next time that I tried to astral project, I had the binaural beats, and, you know, I couldn't do it at all. Just flat out could not do it. And then I remembered what that one entity said. And I was tempted. I was really tempted to basically pray to this thing or these things and ask him for help, but there was still something that told me that I really shouldn't do it. Like, I just felt really uneasy. So I didn't. I just ended up going to, I just went to sleep. I called it quits and went to sleep. It took maybe a day. I mean, it was very fast after that. It was like our trailer was now a demonic war zone. Not only did my sleep paralysis get even worse, but my wife Christina was having it. We were having shared sleep paralysis experiences where we would see the same things. Little monsters like this tall would be jumping in our on our dressers and knocking stuff over. I mean, it was just the weirdest thing. We would hear loud crashes in the bathroom, and then we would go and check, and there would be nothing moved. Mm. We had an atheist roommate at the time. Oh, and my daughter, Jacqueline, she was having night terrors and similar to what my mom said that I had as a kid.
Yep.
We had an atheist roommate, and she didn't believe in anything. And this was weird. She said she was a Wiccan, but she didn't believe in anything. So I don't know how that worked, but, she was even seeing stuff. She was telling me that at night she would see these glowing orbs that would show up and shoot into me and Christina's room. And she would say, it just feels like they were really angry and evil. She was actually using words like that. And it got to the point where all of us, we would all sleep in the living room just so we for fear of being, you know, alone or separated. I mean, it was the most demonically infused environment I've ever been in. It's like something out of a horror movie. Right. So now looking back, I know what happened. They tried to deceive me. They tried to get me to do something that probably would have stripped off the last little bit of Christianity that I had left. And they would have been allowed in my body or, you know, whatever. I would have given them permission, and it didn't work. And they got really mad about it. These things were absolutely demonic. They were, I don't know if they were fallen angels or demons. I do believe there's a difference. I don't know what they were, but it was something just straight up evil. They were mad that their trick didn't work. So to make a really long story short, I just knew, I don't know what I'm doing. I need Jesus to help me, and I have no idea what to do. So I prayed. It was the most honest prayer that I've ever prayed compared against anything that I prayed before that time. And I asked Jesus to help me, you know, just whatever that means, help me, because this, I cannot live like this. These things would follow us around, like even to other places, like at the store and stuff. Like, so I knew like moving wasn't an option. They weren't like in the house, attached to the house. They were attached to us, and I had caused it.
Right.
So Jesus did help me. I was watching TV. I caught a program called It Supernatural with Sid Roth. L.A. Marzulli was on. He was talking about coming out of the New Age, and he was talking about spiritual warfare and aliens and all this stuff, you know, that I had no idea about that could connect with the Bible. So I took a chance, and I found his email. I emailed him, and I didn't expect that I was going to get a phone call back, because he was on the first season of Ancient Aliens, too. So, I mean, he was on like actual network TV. Mm-hmm. And but he did. He called me, and he gave me a crash course in spiritual warfare, basically. He taught me if you're saved, if you submit your life to Jesus, you can use his name. His name has authority over these things. So it's not that we as Christians have authority. It's that we have access to Jesus' authority to these demonic things. So I did everything he said. I had already decided that I'm going to have to follow Christ. I rededicated my life to Christ. I got rid of all my New Age stuff, all my binaural beat CDs, and all my, you know, just little trinkets and stuff that I had, books and all this stuff, got rid of all of that. And I used the name of Jesus to cast things out and to also close any portals that I might have opened. Mm-hmm. And it worked. Everything was calm after that. It stopped. Everything was peaceful, and then things just chilled out. So that's when I knew there is real power here that the New Age can't touch. The New Age has nothing on this. You know, New Age is nothing compared to Christianity, right, if it has this kind of power. Right. So I completely disavowed the New Age, totally gave myself over to Jesus, and decided I need to be in Christian ministry teaching other people these dangers. So that's how it led to us writing this book.
Right. And one of